Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1088. Our topic is mindset and the title is Drop Your Stones. So, what in the world does that mean? Every single day I do 15 tasks that help me become my best self. Now, some of them are communication, like with relationships. Some of them are like taking care of my own physical health, mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, daily to-dos, and all these other odds and ends. One of the tasks is to touch base with God every day. So I'm Christian. If you're not Christian, don't worry. I'm not going to like preach to you or anything. But the concept of what we're talking about today came from something I had listened to that was related to a sermon. So I just wanted to kind of throw out there like where the context came from. Now, what we're looking at here is it was a concept that was applied to like judging others, like how we should judge others. But I thought what was interesting about it was how it could be applied to how we judge ourselves, in the sense of how we place burdens upon ourselves based on our beliefs about ourselves. So, the lesson in the sermon was about a group of people who were going to stone someone for a sin. So, Jesus said, you know, whichever one of you has no sin can throw the first stone. And of course, first of all, I'm paraphrasing there, I'm sure. But in a sense, it meant that no one was going to throw a stone because everybody has committed sin. So, we need to be careful when we find ourselves judging other people to the point of kind of devaluing them as a person, to remember that we too make mistakes. So yes, that person may be acting like an idiot that we can think of, you know, somebody's annoying the crap out of us, we're mad at somebody, we're angry at somebody, you know, we're just judging on other people. That person might be acting like an idiot, or maybe they're doing something stupid, or they're just doing something different than what we would do, and we don't agree with it. But we too act like idiots, and they too don't agree with everything that we do all the time. So this concept of kind of giving other people grace, because we often ourselves need grace as well, it doesn't mean you can't protect yourself. It doesn't mean, you know, you can't step away if you have to. It doesn't mean you can't settle the issue if there's an issue that has to be settled. It's okay to do those things. It's beneficial to do those things. It's necessary to do those things at times. But it led us to kind of this concept that I wanted to use, the stone concept. When we judge others, we hold on to a stone. Then this is figurative. So we hold on to a stone that we're ready at a moment's notice to throw at them. Meaning that if something comes up and they try to hurt us, or they try to blame something on us, or something from them might potentially be negative on us, if we're about to get hurt, we hurl this stone at their face to protect ourselves. So what I mean by this is, you can't judge me because you're not perfect. So the second we feel like someone's about to judge us, we throw this stone back at their face to show them that they're not perfect, therefore they shouldn't be judging us. It's amazing how we say that in our own defense, but yet we seldom think of it the other way around, meaning that we will more easily judge other people even though we make mistakes. But we do not accept other people judging us if they also make mistakes. So it's kind of interesting how it can work, how it works both ways, but it's not equal both ways. So if someone borrowed something from me, for example, and they never returned it, I can keep that memory, keep that quote-unquote stone, ready to throw at them when needed. So if they ever come back to borrow something again, I can say, no, you never returned the last thing you borrowed. So boom, there's my stone, thrown back in their face. And we do this with many people in our lives, and we do this with for many reasons and many events. So we end up carrying a lot of freaking stones, and that weighs us down. It can cause us to be angry, it can cause us to be defensive, maybe even disconnected from other people. A lot of times these stones that we carry breed a negative mental and emotional environment. And then we often wonder why we don't feel happier, or why we don't have more positive things in our life. It's hard to grow positivity from negative soil. So if we use this concept, but we look at ourselves, what do we judge ourselves for? What do we say about ourselves that's a negative self-belief that could be weighing us down? what are the stones you carry when you think of yourself? So I've mentioned in just a few podcasts in the past that I've had some of these in my own right. And we all do, but I'll just use myself as an example. If you've never met me in person, you know, you're out of luck. Bummer, huh? But I am blind in one eye. I'm blind in my left eye, and it was from birth. And as I got older, I became kind of more aware of the potential negative of that, meaning that you would see it in movies. People would always be made fun of if they were cross-eyed. And I started to kind of think and kind of believe that, okay, well, being cross-eyed is something that's worthy of being made fun of. Being cross-eyed is something negative. Being cross-eyed is something that I would feel shame for. So I didn't do anything, you know, to create it, but it's something that I felt shame over. And I'm sure my mom is probably like crying inside. Don't worry, Mom, I'm fine now. But it was something that as I got older, it kind of held me back from being more open to meet other people. I would be afraid to kind of look people in the eye because if I look somewhat cross-eyed, I'd be afraid they'd make fun of me or they would devalue me as a person. They wouldn't see the real me. They would just see this outside shell of a human being that was cross-eyed. I also have been told that I have a weird voice for a male, which is a lovely thing to be told by a speech pathologist. I was born with Pierre Robin syndrome, which is kind of like a jaw and throat deformity, and it has made my voice be kind of like an octave in between where a male and a female's normal ranges are. So I have a little bit of a higher voice for a male, but a little bit of a lower voice for a female. I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. And a speech pathologist actually told me that, as in like, oh, wow, you have a really odd voice. And I'm like, oh, thanks. Get to enjoy that for the rest of my life. So those were things that really held me back from being more vocal, being more communicative, being more of who I wanted to be and who I felt like I was on the inside. It was these things on the outside that I felt kind of shame over, or I felt like would kind of prejudge. People would prejudge me based on these things, and they would never get to know me. And then when I was 15 years old, I've said about this before, is a friend of mine, we were doing play fighting, we were kind of talking back and forth, and he said, well, at least I'm not fat. And if you had asked me at that time, I would have said, yeah, I'm overweight. But I wouldn't have really thought of it as, like, something that could be used against me. And as something that, like, if somebody called me that, I would feel negatively about it. And I remember when the friend said that, I got mad at myself, actually. Because I was like, damn it, why did I let myself become something that could be negatively used against me? And I got really mad. I was very frustrated with myself. Now, that actually happened on my 15th birthday. So, I set a goal to not be fat. I was like, you know what? This is bullcrap. I don't like this. I am going to do 250 push-ups and 250 sit-ups every single night. I have no clue why I picked 250. 250. Now, this was a kid who was 5'8", 165 pounds, with fat rolls. I had no muscle definition, no muscle tone. You could grab rolls of fat around me, my midsection. I couldn't even do 20 push-ups in a row. I couldn't do 20 sit-ups in a row. And for some reason, my brain said 250 push-ups and 250 sit-ups. That's insane. But I was actually successful all but 10 days from my 15th birthday to my 16th birthday. So my 15th birthday to my 16th birthday, I did 250 push-ups and 250 sit-ups every single day except for 10 days. 7 of those days, I was on a Boy Scout trip with friends, and I was too embarrassed to do it in front of them. But I did it. And what did I get for it? Jack shit, because I didn't know how to eat properly. So I ended up getting 4 inches taller, but I weighed the exact same. By the time I was 18 years old, I was anorexic. I only ate one meal a day. I tried to learn how many calories were in foods. I had a little book that I carried around because we didn't have internet. And I tried to figure out how many calories I ate every day, and I tried to figure out how to burn off that many calories through exercise. And a lot of it was just guessing, because I was reading, you know, muscle and fitness magazines, muscular development magazines, internet. I didn't get that in my house until I was 17 years old. And I remember it took me 40 minutes to download a 20-minute video from RX Muscles in the Iron Asylum. They would have bodybuilders go through workouts, and Dave Palumbo would interview them. And that was like my, oh man, that was the thing. I would get home from school, I would start to download that video. This was dial-up internet. So if somebody tried to call the house, I'd just pick up the phone and hang it up instantly. Sorry, Mom. But it would allow the video to be downloaded in about 40 minutes. I would eat dinner with the family, so that way it looked like I ate something. And then I would go, like, watch the video and do the workout in my home gym the whole night. So my parents were amazing, and they have continued to be. But on my 16th birthday, they bought me a weight set and let me use half of our garage. It's like a one-car garage space for my weights. So I would go down after dinner, and I'd be down there for 2-3 hours, sometimes more, and just going through different exercises, learning different things. I bought the Arnold Schwarzenegger Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding and went through every page of that. It was just, oh man, I was so determined to make a difference. Unfortunately, I never learned about nutrition. I didn't know that you needed food to build muscle. I thought just lifting weights built muscle. I thought that's what caused muscles to grow. I didn't know that you needed a material for the muscle to grow from. So if I want a brick house, I have to have bricks, right? I didn't know if I wanted muscle, I needed protein. I didn't understand that. So I kicked my own butt for 3 years. I got 4 inches taller, but I weighed the exact same, and I still felt very skinny fat. So I was very defeated. I was bummed. I knew I was figuring things out. I was still learning things. So I didn't give up, but I did change my course. I was like, you know what? Eating nothing doesn't seem to have helped anything. So let me try to eat more food. I remember looking at the articles where the bodybuilders were eating, you know, 5,000 calories a day, 6,000 calories a day. And I looked and I was like, okay, I'm eating 500 calories a day. There seems to be a disconnection here. I had completely lost all sense of hunger. I didn't know what being hungry felt like because I literally just ate one meal a day and hated myself. So I lost all kind of body connection. So I had to relearn how to eat. And one of the articles I read was from Lee Priest, who is a bodybuilder from Australia. And he talked about if I told a teenager, you know, to get bigger, what I would tell them was to eat a whole chicken, eat a loaf of bread, and drink a gallon of milk. And I lived in the country, but not so damn country where there was chickens running around the backyard that I could just go and eat. So I was like, damn it, I can't get chicken that often. Can't make bread. I don't know how to break bread. But milk. Milk is almost always available. I could go to gas stations. I could go to the local grocery store. I could probably get my hands on milk. So I set a goal to drink a gallon of milk every single day. And I was like, damn it, that'll be tons of calories. That'll get me growing. So I drank a gallon of milk every single day for 2 years. Yes. 2 years, I didn't miss a single day of drinking a gallon of milk a day. My dad can attest to that because he's helped clean out my car every now and then and found like 12 milk jugs in the backseat of my car. But for 2 years, I drank a gallon of milk a day. I started learning how to eat a little bit better, but I still was eating like boiled chicken and like frozen vegetables and then just drinking a gallon of milk. So I still didn't understand the proper proportions of anything. But I ended up gaining 30 pounds. I got up to 195 pounds, but I was fat as all hell. So still, fat rolls around everywhere. And I had started training people because I had known enough to help my friends. My friends were seeing results. Then their parents wanted to help. And then all of a sudden, everybody I was helping was seeing results. But I remember never being able to see the results for myself. I was so good at giving calm, medium-of-the-road advice for other people, but I took everything to the insane extreme to the point where it shut my progress down. So even as I got older, when I got to 24 years old, I was teaching at the university, local university. I was about 200-ish pounds, still chubby, no muscle mass, no muscle tone, had no confidence. Really, the only ever place that I felt confident was when I was training other people. When I trained other people, I knew what I was saying. I knew what to do in the workouts. The clients got great results. They were telling other people. My reputation was growing. I ended up making more money training than I ever did teaching. So I opened a gym. When I started training at the gym, I got up to 50 hours of in-person clients a week. And I remember my clients were telling me, you can't sustain this. You can't sustain this. You need to increase your prices. There's no way you're going to survive 50 hours a week, plus writing everybody's nutrition plan, training plan, cleaning the gym, building the gym, doing the accounting for the gym. You can't do all this. Raise your prices. So I remember I increased my prices by half. So half the amount of my price, I added that onto my price. And no one left. So that was awesome for money, but it didn't solve my issue of being overworked. So I charged everybody half more than what they were paying, and no one left. And that was a testament to probably how cheap the prices were, but also that I was a pretty good trainer. And as the business has grown, as I've grown as a person, everything has continued to improve. But what happened for me was that I had to recognize that the things that were perceived burdens, the stones that I was carrying around, not only were they hurting my life, but they were hurting my ability to help others' lives. In order for me to be a good trainer, I had to talk. In order for me to be a good trainer, I had to look at people in their eyes. I had to step outside of my comfort zone to help other people get into theirs. If they were uncomfortable with their body, I had to step out of my comfort zone to help them do what they needed to do to have a body that they felt more comfortable with. It was the belief in my ability to impact others that allowed me to look past the limitations that I believe I had on my own. If I was cross-eyed, if I did sound weird, even if I looked fat and chubby, I knew how to help people. And I would be hurting them if I stayed in my comfort zone. I'd be hurting them if I let the stones that I believed about myself, the stones that I held, if I let them continue to hold me down. What do you say about yourself that's negative? Is it because you believe those things are true that you act as if they're true? And maybe that's what makes them true. What if you acted differently? Is it possible then that you'd think differently? What if you dropped your stones, the negative self-beliefs, and just did the things you knew you were capable of, the things that you maybe just hope you're capable of? If you act differently, will you then think differently and then be able to live differently? What are your stones? What do you believe to be true about yourself that is weighing you down? Why not drop them and try living as your best self, no longer weighed down, no longer living in a negative state, but living with hope and the belief that you can change what you believe and become what you were meant to be? I remember my younger self, when I started kind of my journey into fitness, I remember thinking, man, my genetics are crap. My genetics are meant for me to be skinny and fat and weak. Well, F genetics. Screw genetics. That's bullshit. I will not accept my genetics. Since then, I've gained over 100 pounds and I'm leaner. I had no visible muscle tissue, no muscle lines whatsoever when I was 165 pounds. I'm now 280 pounds and have visible ab lines. I've gained over 100 pounds to my body. I've more than doubled my best squat, bench, and deadlift total from when I was 18 years old. So I lifted weights from 16 to 18 years old. And at 18 years old, the best squat, bench, and deadlift I could do, I've more than doubled that. By the time now I'm 36, 37. I've been through muscle tears, broken bones. I broke my collarbone while I was bench pressing one time. I've had a lot of other challenges as well, as I'm sure you have as well. But by letting go of my stones, I'm now living a life that better matches what I believe I was meant to be. I dropped my stones. I'm living without those burdens. And I'm living as a new me. Are you ready to do the same? I hope that you are. If you need any help, I'm always here. My email is brutalironjim@gmail.com. If you're having trouble letting go of those stones, let me know what they are. And I'll help with create some game plan or some ideas, maybe give you some books to read. But we'll figure it out together. You're not alone. There are people who would be happy and excited to help you. I'm one of them. So email me if you need anything. Our email is brutalironjim@gmail.com. I appreciate you listening to this podcast, and I hope it truly makes a difference for you. Give this stuff a try. See how it works, just a little bit by little bit. Okay? If you liked today's podcast, or if you've liked our podcast at all, please share it. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people we can help. So it's pretty awesome. So thank you if you do that. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean platform. I appreciate your help very, very much. We wouldn't be able to do this podcast every day if we didn't have some kind of financial help. So thank you. Sincerely appreciate that. If you like the information that we present in our podcast, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Jim. And if you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, our email is brutalironjim@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.